Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, this is Elder Rufus coming to you from Straightway, Georgia. Glory to the King. All right, I need you guys in the chat room to let me know if you can hear me. Oh, let's see. All right, actually, I think my YouTubers can hear me. YouTube in the chat room. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Bless y'all. Let me know if y'all can hear me. Let me see here. Okay, good. On Blog Talk, we are tens. What about YouTube? YouTube, can you hear me? All right, 10, and you in the house with me. All right, can you hear me good now? Hallelujah. All right. Well, welcome. Welcome to the Brother segment here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host for the night, Elder Rufus, coming in from Straightway, Georgia. This is Straightway Truth Ministries. This is our segment that we do every first day, every Sunday. Come on at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Well, I always throw the central up there because the hub is under Central Time. Hallelujah. And this segment is called, If You Have Questions, the Book Has Answers. Hallelujah. All right. As y'all can see, we are up and running. Hopefully the audio is good for everybody. Hopefully the visual is good for everybody. Those of you that are joining us on Blog Talk Radio, blessings to you. I know you can't see me, but I think you can hear me. I'm being told that the overhead headset is unattractive and I need to ditch it. Well, I tried to go to something smaller and that didn't work. It wasn't coming in the way it should. So this is the best thing I have. And then this eliminates any noise in the background so I don't get distracted. So y'all just have to bear with me until I figure out a different way. I know the solution is two screens. Because I actually got two screens up now. I have Blog Talk on my iPad, and that's what you guys are hearing me from on the Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, I have YouTube up on my main screen. So how everybody doing tonight? Good to see all you saints in here. Hallelujah. Shouts out to all the saints that decide to come and fellowship with us. Brother Josh. Boat. The Harrises are here. These are all people that are down in the Blog Talk chat room. Blog Talk chat room. Chad is in the chat room. Hallelujah. What we got going on up here? Let me see what we got going on in YouTubeville, YouTube land. Oh, we got a lot of saints there. You know, more light. That's better. You like that better? Okay. They want more light. Praise Yah. All right, Brother Caleb is in here. He's been the main guy helping me with all of this. Bless you, Brother Caleb. Brother Joel, salute, shalom, shalom. Our family out there in Hawaii, oh, bless y'all. Glory to the King. Brother Scott, our family in Australia. Brother Robert, The Rock, bless you, my brother. Brother Michael Baltimore, Antoine, hallelujah. Sister Amara, bless you, sis. Sister Carla. Hallelujah. Bless you, love. Chandra in the house. Glory to the King. Man, well, I appreciate y'all. Brother Jeremy, Mississippi. Hallelujah. Heard y'all was going in yesterday. Mama Tawana, good to see you. Glory to the King. Brother Willie, Sister D. I mean, y'all on both, huh? Y'all got it like that, huh? Y'all logged in on the Blog Talk and you on the YouTube, man. Get it done. Brother V, bless you, my brother. Oh, Brother Richard, bless you, my brother, bless you. Got your messages the other day. I think I responded. Hopefully you got my response. Jimmy Two Shoes, what's up, my brother? Salute. Salute. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. Like I said before, this is the segment that's called If You Have Questions, the Book Has Answers. So we got a host of questions today. We're going to see what the Most High Yah allows us to get to. Some of them I have already answered and sent back to the individuals. I didn't think we needed to read them here for edification. But I have enough here that I think we're going to be good for this segment. Glory to the King. We had questions come in from all over the country. Glory to the King. And, you know, the thing we want to do, like the book says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. All right? So, those of you that have been around me for a long, long time understand kind of how I function, how I roll. There may be some things I end up pulling up and actually reading the scripture to you. A lot of it is just in me, though. You know what I mean? So when I answer, I'm not your typical what you see out here in the Christian realm, you know, throw the book down and hit you over the head with chapter and verse. I just understand that our people didn't do it like that. Back in the day, they didn't walk around with Bibles They weren't privy to those like we are. Hallelujah. And when they talked, they didn't talk in chapter and verse because it wasn't written in chapter and verse. So my number one desire, number one goal is to make sure that the word of Yah is just in my heart and in it so deep to where I can live it. Does that make sense to everybody? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. So you will hear a lot of the word. Some of you that want to be like the Bereans and want to be extremely studious, you'll go behind me to make sure that the words that I'm quoting you are actually in the book. Hallelujah. Some of them I'll give you guidance on where it is and how to get to it, if it's in the law or a psalm or, you know, a New Testament text or something like that. Sometimes I just roll. It just depends on what the Most High is saying. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have time for questions that can come through the chat. Sometimes we don't. So we'll just have to see. Brother Raymond out there in Straightway, Ohio. Bless you, brother. Good to see you in here. Black Pride, appreciate you joining us tonight. Salute, my brother. Shalom. Shalom to the saints. Salute to my brethren. Those of you that was with us yesterday and the day before, joining us on Pastor Dow's blog talk on Friday night and joining us for Shabbat service yesterday, you got your bellies full. You got a mouthful. You got so much to eat on that you should be chewing on this for a long, 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 long time. Now let me start with this. Let me start with this. All right. The thing that blew me away. All right. Bless you, Brother Willie, Brother Will, Brother Jermaine, Brother Isaiah. Bless you, son. How you doing? Brother Patrick, my brother. Bless you, my brother. Good to see all y'all in here fellowshipping with us. Glory to the King. Let me start with this though. Yesterday, you remember the segment of the service when Pastor Dow said to all the saints that if you've been functioning this week in rebellion, stand up. And see, I had a visual of what was going on in Georgia because I was there, but my spirit had a visual of what was going on in Israel spiritually. I'm not gonna lie, y'all. I'm not gonna lie. Them numbers shocked me. Them numbers kind of shocked me. I did not think. Let me say it this way. Maybe I didn't want to believe. Maybe I didn't want to believe that many of us are functioning willfully in rebellion. You guys get what I'm saying? That willfully functioning in rebellion, which is as a sin of witchcraft. You know what I'm saying? And when I got a chance to, you know, get my spirit at peace and calm down, I was just like, Father, we need your help. We need your help bad. Because here it is. Check it out. We are the chosen people. We're the ones that have already opened up the door and allowed them to come in and sup with us, y'all. We are supposed to be striving to enter in, right? We're supposed to be coming out of her and living this set-apart life. And a lot of us are, but are we? If we live it in rebellion, are we? Now, I'll say this, and I like to try to keep stuff simple and plain, because that stuff is the stuff that seems to go way up over our head. We want these complicated, educated tongue twisters and all that kind of stuff to make us feel good. But at the end of the day, if you can't produce and you can't function and operate in the basics, what good does it give you to even think you understand and know what that is? You know, I had a situation the other day, yesterday, where I was telling saints, you know, they were in the midst of, and I won't reveal all of it, but they were in the midst of deliverance, right? And they were doing it a specific way. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Oh, you know, and I already knew why, you know, because they've heard on video and things like that Pastor Dow doing. I'm like, no, you don't have the power to do what Pastor Dow do. This is not play game. You know, y'all know the story of the seven sons of Sceva. Y'all know that story. Man, you mess around and get out here and start playing around with these devils, you may get your tail whooped. So that's why I was telling the saints, man, whatever's bound on this earth, it's bound in heaven. And whatever's loosed on this earth, it's loosed in heaven. You better keep this stuff simple and start commanding and demanding and believing first and foremost the things you say in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. So I see now I got to quit moving because I see it moves my desk, which I'm not touching it. It's just the floor, I guess, you know, and I'm moving around. So I'll try to be as still as possible because I know you're on YouTube. Y'all don't want to see me go up and down, up and down, up and down. So I try to sit as still as possible. But back to the lesson here that we were talking about and the instruction. When I was telling the saints, look, just stick to the basics. If something's going on, command that thing. If you know the Spirit is doing this, bind that thing. It's just that simple. We don't have to try to get all fancy and do all this stuff we see maybe like Pastor Dowell or Pastor Corey or myself or Elder Beck, you know, somebody that's really been doing this thing for a really long time that knows how to provoke spirits and all that. Don't just be like the religious world of the day. The religious world of the day will try to fake it until they make it. We don't have that luxury, and it ain't a luxury any darn ways. You know, we don't have that option, y'all. We just don't. We don't have the option to go through this thing faking it like we really understand what's going on, and we really don't, because it's going to end up costing down the road, costing you and costing other saints. Hallelujah. Hopefully that's making sense. So when I saw those numbers yesterday and I felt those numbers in my spirit, I was like, man, this is jacked up. So what I'm praying and what I'm believing through the Most High is that we're going to get this thing together, y'all. I mean, Pastor makes a statement like this all the time. He says, Yah got us in his crosshairs, and he does, but that's because he loves us. He's given us instructions. He's guiding us. His Spirit is leading us to all truth for a specific purpose, and that's so that we can get ourselves together so that when it's time for us to enter into his kingdom, nothing in us will be offensive so that we will be able to be received without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to everybody? Hallelujah. So look, if you were one of them individuals that you stood up, hold on a second, and you know for a fact you just been walking in willful rebellion, you, first and foremost, need to repent. Sincerely, you need to repent. Tell the Most High, I'm through playing games. I'm through mentally being half in and half out, that you're going to get all of me. I'm going to submit totally. I'm going to obey you fully. Hallelujah, because he's a Yah of order. Now, check this out. The Father sent his Son, right, to come down here and destroy the works of the devil, but to also be an example for us, right? Now, man that knew no sin took on all sin so that, we didn't have to. That's what he did, right? But you constantly heard him say over and over and over and over again, not my will, thy will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. The will of my Father, the will of my Father, the will of my Father, the will of my Father. So I was talking about how on the sister to sister, and on actually on pastors, they were talking about the week before, and the sisters came in and pastor did the phone calls, right? And they were talking about how it didn't cost them anything to submit and to obey and to come into this truth, right? When I really thought about it, though, it costs you everything. It didn't cost you nothing, but it costs you everything, because you got to be willing to give up your will. You got to be willing to give up your feelings, your emotions, your thoughts, your dreams, your hopes, your goals. All of that needs to be put on the back burner to never come back again, so that Yah can use you for his good and for his pleasure. Is this making sense to everybody? Am I going too fast? Am I jumping around too much for you? You know what I mean? I'm not trying to, but I'm trying to keep this simple and basic because I'm pressing. I mean literally pressing. Anytime I'm speaking to the saints, I am pressing them on getting themselves in a submissive state and getting themselves in order with the Most High Yah. And the main way you do that is showing order, honor, and respect to those that have the rule over you here, right? Now, you're a wife. Your husband is the head of you. How is it that you can be committed 100% to Yah and you're not 100% committed to your husband? It's impossible. Let's stop fooling ourselves. you husbands, how is it that you can be given instructions from the leaders of the ministry and you shortchange those instructions, you sidetrack them, you avoid them, you just flat out rebel and don't do them? You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? You use all kind of tactics and everything to make sure you don't have to do it, and you come with all these excuses. But you're the same brother that will demand 100% excellence from your wife and your children. You, sir, are a hypocrite. You a hypocrite because you're not serving your masters and you're not serving your Yah to the greatest ability that you can. So when you are walking in open rebellion, it makes sense that those underneath you are going to do the same. Pastor makes these type of statements all the time. You're only going to go as high as your leaders are going to go. That's it. So if you under an oppressive rule, a lazy rule, an excuse-making ruler, somebody that has a listening or hearing problem because they don't want to do something, you in trouble. You in trouble. And you wives know you can't come to me and complain about your husbands too much. Why? Because the first thing I'm going to tell you is, well, you picked them. You chose them. Says a lot about you as an individual for you to choose this and everything that you're saying about that individual. Says a lot about you. Same with the husbands when they come. Oh, you chose her. You didn't need no instruction. You got this all figured out. You don't need no elders. You don't need no guides from nobody. You got this. And you have this. And you have this until crap hits the fan. You have it until then. Now, once crap hits the fan, you want to look for some guides and you want to look for some counsel. And at that point, you it's too late. You're in trouble. So I hope this is making sense to everybody. Glory to the King. I know the world is celebrating what they call Father's Day. I got all kind of messages from different brothers and all this stuff. And, you know, hallelujah. You know, I thank the Father that it's Father's Day every day for me. Because I'm giving my Father glory. I'm giving him praise every single day. I don't need no special day to let me know that the Most High Yah is everything to me. He's been everything, he's being everything, and he's going to be everything. He's the past, the present, and the future for me. Hallelujah. And I love everything about serving the Most High Yah. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm extremely grateful. I have a lot of gratitude in my heart that he chose me. And he didn't have to. It's what, 7 billion people in the world, 8 billion people in the world? And he picked the rattiest and dirtiest of the dirtiest, me, and said, serve me. But first he brushed me off and cleaned me off and shaped and molded me. He's the potter now. You know that. He's the potter. And I got no problem being the clay, being molded, and doing exactly what he tells me to do. And I'm glad that his order and his process is this way, that we get the opportunity, right? We get the chance to deal with all of this before he come busting through those clouds so that when we go into the kingdom, see, the body goes back to where it came from. The spirit goes back to where it came from. But your soul, the thing that's being saved, that's the thing that you got to deal with. Your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, you got to deal with that. And since nothing can offend, nothing that offends getting into the kingdom, you got to get that in check right now. That thing has to be perfect towards him. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go through this life and not make mistakes and not screw up. But your mindset towards him needs to be perfect in that area. That's why he can make the statements about certain of our ancestors that they were perfect in his eyes. Because he knew no matter what, they were committed. And they were going to do whatever he told them to do. Even when they screwed up and he would send a man of Yah to expose it, they would repent. And that's all Yah cares about, a repentant heart. That's something that can be restored. Hallelujah. All right, so y'all got my little quick 20-minute soliloquy on what we need to do and how we need to step it up, right? Glory to the King. So let's get into some of these questions, all right? Let's get into some of these questions. I think the first question I'm going to address is slander and speaking and sending curses. You know, a lot of times in the ministry, you may be at feast or at fellowships, assemblies, and all this kind of stuff. You'll hear people start to speak a specific way about certain people, right? Sometimes it's speaking about your leadership. Sometimes it's speaking about, you know, a brother or sister, a brethren. Sometimes it's speaking about a spouse, a child, whatever the case may be. You'll hear these things being said. And for some, for all of us, actually, it's a thin line when it comes to the understanding of it, of what is actually slander, what is sending curses to each other, and all this kind of stuff, right? So let me help some of you beginning saints and some of you saints that have been around for a long time. When you hear these types of things, how you should deal with them, how you should respond to them, because it can vary depending on, like, where you at in this stage. If you, you know, say you living alone and you don't have fellowship and you only get to come around for feast, so you're really only seeing the saints 3-4 times a year, right? Or if you're part of an assembly that gets to see the saints every week, when you get to see them at Shabbat once a week, right? Or someone that's actually living on community that gets to live with the saints and you seeing them every single day. There's levels to this thing, okay? And I know you may hear different things being said, but the book is extremely clear about how Yah judges us, and he judges everything that we do by our intent. Does everybody understand that? What is the intent of what you are doing and what you are saying? Hallelujah. What is the intent? Because sometimes, like, I'll use me as a leader, and I'll use me as an example. Sometimes I'll go to one of my wives, right, and I'm speaking to them about something going on in Israel, right? That could be a myriad of things why I'm doing it. One could be I need maybe their advice, because I could be asking about a sister or a situation that they're familiar with. I may want their input. I could be asking for that reason, right? I could be bringing it up, right? I could be bringing it up just for them to be a sounding board for me, you know, just to, like, get it off my chest. You know what I'm saying? Because they should be able to minister to me and cater to me and take care of me, you know, when things start to get high and stress starts to raise up. You know what I'm saying? So, I hope it don't work with me. I hope I don't do this stuff. If I do, we're going to deal with it. Or someone could go in the spirit of just to slander, just to put down, have no desire to uplift that individual or to bring restoration to that individual or restore them at all. The motivation is not there. You just speaking from a hurt, angry, immature, selfish place. That could be it. And that's what needs to be discerned, right, by the people that are listening and hearing. And I think part of the problem is the levels of communication cut off depending on who's doing the talking and who's doing the quote-unquote slandering or negative stories and all, negative statements and all this. Now, most of you really don't know how to send curses spiritually to individuals. You know, you think that shit, hell and damn, is still curse words. You know what I'm saying? So you don't really have a real truthful understanding of how to really, like, send curses to folk. But you can speak in a specific tone, right, with a specific inflection. I mean, not inflection, a specific emphasis. You can speak a specific way, and what's going on inside of you is evil. It's definitely evil. So your intent on the way you're speaking is to damage and to do harm. In that manner, you could be speaking things over someone and trying to curse them. And a lot of times the devil is using you and your feelings and your emotion, and you don't even know that's what you're doing. But it is what you're doing. So it is better to just bridle your tongue and be quiet. But in certain situations and scenarios. Like I was using me as an example, right? You have to share information to warn, to put a woe out, to inform saints on things that could potentially be an issue for them moving forward when they may be dealing with other saints. Like, I'm going to be real with you. Let's just say, let's use the hypothetical situation now. Let's just say you are just a piece of crap saint. You're carnal. You don't get no deliverance. You don't fellowship the way you should. You got a bad spirit. You got a bad attitude. We've worked with you. We're trying to help you. We're making ourselves available. You're rejecting us. You're pushing us off. You're Mr. Instead of being an Israelite, you're an individualite. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know the saint, that the so-called saint that I'm talking about. See, it's not slander. It's not negative speech. It's not putting anybody down if I go to the saints and I warn them about that individual. Now, in the process of warning them, you should be wise enough. You should have enough understanding to tell the saints. You still need to function in the manner of love, because the book tells you, owe no man nothing but love, right? So I'm not sharing that information with you so you can look at them sideways and try to avoid them and stay away from them, right? What I'm saying to you is, this is who your brother is, or this is who your sister is. You need to know that when you're dealing with them. So when your levels of love is starting to be expressed to them, you know the manner that you need to do it in, because this is who you're dealing with. Because I know that all saints don't come in with high levels of discernment. Matter of fact, most of you don't have the discernment you need to have. You just don't. So somebody has to do that and inform you and educate you and kind of guide you in that thing, so that you just don't go walking down the road and saying, well, this is super saint. I see them at every feast. They love y'all just like me. Everybody that come into the faith don't love y'all like you. They really don't. And you starting to find out you don't love y'all the way you think, because you probably was one of them people standing up in that line yesterday, holding up your hand saying, I've been rebellious on purpose. So you don't, and I put that out there, why? Because you don't need to be looking at them with a judgmental eye. You need to be looking at them with a compassionate eye, saying, okay, Father, what is my role in their life, and what can I do to assist and help them to get over this obstacle, to get over this hump? Because, again, it don't do the leadership or me any good to speak about an individual, to warn others about them, when we're not doing anything to help them. Does that make sense? Y'all know a lot of people in that scenario that I put together of that saint that just won't do nothing right. They're trying to work their way out. They're trying to be offended by stuff. But, again, that does not give you an excuse, right? Remember, you're being judged by the intent. Just because they being buttholes, it doesn't give you an excuse to get outside of your Hebraic, holy, righteous character that you know we've been charged to walk in. Hallelujah. So sometimes you got to be able to discern. Now, if you can't, this is what I say to folks, because we are concrete people here in Israel. If you are hearing information from someone and you can't tell, like, I don't know. I don't know if they slandering them. I don't know if they bad-mouthing them. Tell them. Talk to them and say, look, I feel like, I don't know what you got going on here. It feels like it may be something in your heart towards this individual. We need to go talk to them about this. Have you said something to them about this? Because the Bible tells you, if you have a fault, I mean, you have an ought with your brother, go to him and him alone. So if you haven't talked to them, why are you here talking to me? And see, that's the thing I know, like, for myself, because I use me as an example. I'm not going to share nothing with my wife or one of the saints here and warn all that I haven't already said to that saint every single time. I'm going to tell that saint because I love him that much. I'm going to be like, look, bro, you're a piece of crap. Here it is. You won't do this. You won't do this. You won't do this. We can't depend on you for this. Bro, what's going on? I mean, have we not done this? And I'm going to give them the list of things that we have done to support them. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to go to them the first time, the second time they make a mistake. I'm not. It's not that type of party where you just want to beat them over the head. Hey, every single thing they do. No. That's going to have to be a continual thing where I see your level of effort is not matching the level of love that me and the saints are giving to you. So what are you saying, brother? Do you care? Do you want to be here? Because this is free will. None of us are forced. You know what I mean? We're past all time. The gates swing both ways. You can come in, but you can go out too. So this, where we are here with Straightway, this is for those that are serious. This is for those that are willing to give all, you know. And some folk, you know, want to give a part. But then when you don't get the blessings that you think you should get and you don't get the favor from you that you get, you should look at your offering. You should look at the level of offering that you've given. We here at Straightway, all of us here, we are striving to enter in, and we want to be perfect. Remember when Jesus was dealing with the rich young ruler, and he was telling him, keep the commandments, right? The rich young ruler, I've done that, blah, 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 blah. I did it all my days. He said, all right, cool. You want to be perfect, right? You want to be perfect. Sell everything that you got to the poor. Come follow me. That's what we want. Here at this ministry, we want to be perfect. We want to give up all the worldly thoughts, worldly possessions, anything connected to this world that would stop us from going 100% with Christ. That's the stuff we've given up. Hallelujah. And that's the state we want to be in here. So when we see somebody come into us that don't really have that mindset and they've been around for a little bit, because, again, when you're new, you're coming from the world. You don't understand that. So we know the more you've been around, the more you're going to learn. But once you've been around for a little while, and we like, man, we didn't send you 4, 5, 6, 7 feasts, and you're up there in an assembly. I know you're meeting with the saints every week, and I know the stuff they're doing up there, and you ain't matching what they're doing. That's a cause for concern. But you have to be willing to be part of the solution at the same time. All right? And if the intent is pure, you're not slandering. You're not slandering, sharing information that is vital for saints to know. I want to know. I want to know if a brother don't have my best interest at heart. And again, I'm not going to shut up my bowels of compassion like the books. I'm not going to do that. But I do want to know, okay, this is the kind of thing this brother dealing with. Okay, I'll keep my eye on that. And then if it comes up, I'm willing as a brother to go through that fire with him when it comes to deliverance or prayer for healing, whatever the situation may be. I'm willing to go through the fire for him because I know this is a labor of love, and I'm ready in season, and I'm ready out of season. Hallelujah. Hopefully that makes sense. So I think I kind of dealt with this slander and sending curses a little bit. Part of the question was, should we ever even speak negatively? See, that's subjective on the negative thing, because somebody could say something. I could say this brother is a POS. You may take that as a negative statement. But my intent is not to degrade him. It's not to make him, you know, go fall in the closet and quit. No, my thing is I want to shock him. What pastor put a defibrillator on him? I want him to know, brother, this ain't y'all's standard. And you need to step it up. And again, we are here with you to step it up. I'm not just giving you instruction without being willing to go through it with you, without being able to be part of the solution. But you got to want to love y'all yourself, too. I can't, like, just, I got big shoulders, right? But I can't just throw you on my shoulder and carry you into the kingdom. It don't work like that. So, again, it's subjective on the negative thing, because one person may view it as negative. Another person may not. Now, here's another little thing real quick on that I just thought about. Don't become a garbage can for people, okay? Because you will meet people that are weaker in this area, not as mature. And then any little thing they go through, they want to come to you and just dump it on you, dump it on you, dump it on you, dump it on you, dump it on you. And the way you can tell by that is once you start to be vexed by it, like when you see them, you're like, man, I don't want to be around them. They coming, all they're going to do is dump this battery for me. That's when you have that conversation with them. Let's say, look, I'm not no garbage can. Every time you come, you just got something negative to say about these individuals. But I'm watching you, and I'm not seeing you do nothing to help them. What are you doing to help them? You know, because you sharing the information with me ain't doing nobody no good. You literally just slandering your brother. If you aren't following the book, because the book tells you clearly, your answer for this is if you have a fault, you are charged to go directly to them. So if someone comes to you saying information and it makes you feel a little uncomfortable, ask them. Ask them. Flat out ask them, hey, have you gone to that individual? And if you did, what did they say? And you'll be able to tell, like, hopefully you're mature enough to know when people are making up information and hem-hawing, you're like, yeah, inside, you know, you ain't did it. And then you tell them, since you got me involved, I'm going to go talk to them too then. Since you said you did, blah, 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 now it's time to bring others in. Go get some more people. Now we'll go, and let's get to the bottom of it. A lot of times, people with the ill will and the ill intent that's trying to do the slander thing, where the intent of their heart is not pure, they just want you to hear their side. They're going to try to do everything in their power to get you to avoid going to hearing the other side. They just want you to hear what they got to say and get you to agree with them. So they come back and say, see, so-and-so agree with me 100%. Brother so-and-so agree with me. No, no, no. We're going to nip this in the bud. So a lot of ways you can tell with this thing is get the other person involved if need be. You always ask that question. Hey, have you talked to them about this? Yeah. Really? What'd they say? When did you do this? Ask questions. They bring it to you. You got to write. Now they start getting on, well, what's this? I just want to talk to you about it. Hell, bro. We got to follow the book. The book tells you. You got a problem. I don't got no problem with that brother. I don't got no problem with that sister. But if you do, it tells you and you alone to go to them. You're not supposed to be coming to me with this. Stick with the book. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Man, time's flying, y'all. I did one question. We 40 minutes in. Jesus. How's the sound, y'all? Give me a quick sound check. Give me a quick sound check, y'all. Quick sound check down there in Blog Talk. I need to see something there. And then YouTube. Let me see what we got going on there in YouTube. Quick sound check. Make sure everybody can hear me good. Yeah, I'm seeing some comments in there, but I want a sound check. Put 10 in there if it's coming in good. 0 if it's not. All right. Brother Josh, thank you. Sister Green, thank you. Down there in Blog Talk land. All right, straightway Australia. Brother Marcus, bless you, Brother Marcus. C's, yeah. They coming in now. I forget there is a little bit of a delay, too. I forget there's a little bit of a delay. So glory to the King. All right. Let's get to our next question. Let's see here. The next question is an etiquette question, you guys. It's a question on etiquette. And you hear all the time, you hear Pastor Dow, he'll get up and he'll speak about, bless you, Brother Lee. Bless you, son. Bless you. Glory to King. Sister Joy, bless you. Brother Brett, bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah. Good to see all y'all in there. Brother Steve-O, good to see you, man. Miss you at this last feast, brother. Hallelujah. Brother Timothy, good to see you at this last feast. I know it had been a minute. Brother Timbo, it had been a minute since we saw you. Good to see you, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. This next question is on etiquette, y'all. It's on etiquette. And you hear Pastor Dow say all the time how he rarely spends time talking to the women. And he's always saying to us, the men, we really, you know, because we're so busy working, doing what we do, they're so busy working, doing what they do, we don't spend time really talking with the women. All right? Does that mean that a brother is 100% not supposed to speak to a woman? No, that's not what Pastor's saying, y'all. All right? But there are certain times and certain situations where a brother should. Other than that, like, a brother shouldn't be just sitting down conversating with sisters like they will with brothers. That part is just flat out not appropriate, right? If he's a married man, you know, if there's like a courting type of thing set up, you'll be able to tell that the way the system we got set up, because there'll be where we can see them, but away from everybody. But everybody can see them, but they're away, so they can have their level of privacy, but still be out in the open. Everybody know, oh, that's a courting situation, okay? But if I see a brother and then another sister over here talking, and that sister, I know she's married, everybody going to look sideways like, what the hell is she doing talking to him that long? Now, if a brother just comes up, hey, I got these buckets. Do you know where I'm supposed to take these buckets, sister? Don't get religious with that brother. Don't tell that brother, you speak to my master. Don't talk to me. No. Tell the brother where the bucket goes if you know. If you don't know, say, brother, I'm sorry, I don't know where they go. Okay? It's not that a brother can't come up and just ask a basic question, because most of the time this stuff is taking place at the feast and stuff like that. If you live in a community, part of an assembly, you already know it. But at the feast, everybody's coming in from all over the world, y'all. And we have a lot of folk come in that they're not on community. They're not a part of, you know, an assembly where they're going and fellowshipping every single week. So they're learning the few times that they come. But it's never really, like, appropriate. Like me, you'll never see me just privately pulled aside having a conversation with another man's wife unless that man has given me permission and he trusts my counsel and says, I need you to speak to her. That's the only time. And even in that, I'll probably still have one of my wives here with me. Or if it's public, like, I will be right out front in the public. And again, I'm an elder charged to counsel Israel, right? So I'm going to have more conversations with anybody, you know, than most of you guys will. But it's not a situation where, like, the men are just superior to women. That's not what we're talking about, y'all. Now, a husband is above a wife, right? But every brother, you know, just because I'm a brother, that don't make me above a woman. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't. There should be honor. There should be reverence and respect there. Same way we've been charged to love our wives and to love our daughters and to love the daughters of Zion and protect them and provide for them and all of that good stuff. The same level of respect and reverence should be for a sister to a brother. And again, you should be able to discern if a brother is asking you a basic question for understanding because he don't know what else is going on, or if a brother is inappropriately coming and trying to be in your face and talking to you. This is why we say stuff like no men in the kitchen. We don't allow men in the kitchen. Now, we have brothers that will grill and cook and do all that kind of stuff, but we don't put men in the kitchen with women. Why? I don't need men around the sisters, and then the conversation gets sideways and somebody's weak, and the next thing you know, you got this brother over here offended because his wife then came and said, well, this man, we don't even put ourselves in positions to have opportunities like that. But it doesn't concretely mean you cannot speak to a man if you're a woman, and you cannot speak to a woman if you're a man. Especially like if it's a feast, because this is where most of this happens, because you see people you never know. There's things going on. You know, it could be the type of situation where you say, man, the trash is full. I want to take it. I just don't know where to take it to. And then you look and you see 10 sisters. Do you ignore all those sisters until a brother comes? No. Hey, sis, any of you sisters, do y'all know where I'm supposed to take this trash? Yes, sir, there's a big old trailer over there that we throw the trash in. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when he throws the trash in there, right? When he throws the trash in there, right? Then you standing there with them talking, and yeah, you know, I'm from such and such, and we've been here all this time, and oh, man, we flew here, blah, blah. Y'all just starting to have casual conversation. Now, what's all that about? What's all that about? There's an honor and there's a respect. You know, the majority of the women are married, and even if they're not, they're still covered by their fathers, they're covered in the ministry. If men are going to communicate on a private level with women, on a personal level with women, you need approval for that. You know, I have daughters, bro. I have daughters. You think I just want some man coming up to my daughter like he's some heathen on the street saying, hey, sis, you this, you that, blah, 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 la, la, la. That's what I want. Or would I want a respectful, honorable man say, hey, Elder Rufus, I'm brother so-and-so. And I've been watching your daughter for a while. I've been watching your family for a while. I respect the way you conduct your home and all that. I'm extremely interested in covering your daughter. Even if he ain't the one for her, I'm going to have major respect and honor for that. Why? Because she's in my house. She's under my rule. I'm the one responsible and in charge for her. So the etiquette of men speaking to women, men don't speak to women in this ministry. Not like that. And I hope that's being translated. You know, I'm trying to be as concrete as possible, right? It doesn't mean you can't have a basic question answered or something like that. Give some instruction, whatever the case may be. Bless you, sis. Man, it's so good to see y'all. I do that. Some of these sisters and families I haven't seen. And if I see, you know, Sister Sonya, which is my brother from Virginia's wife. I'm not, when I see her, bless you, sis, so good to see you. Hallelujah. Bless you, sis. I'm so glad to see y'all. Man, I'm not going to sit there and wait. Let me get on the phone. Let me get Brother Tommy on the phone and make sure it's okay that I say hi to his wife. No, I'm not going to do that. But that's an honor and that's in respect, right? And I say my highs and my blessings and go about my business.
Now, I'm an elder, so sometimes folk come up to me and they want to hug me. And you just watch close. If it's a wife, if it's another man's wife, and I already know, like, I already know the ones that I can and I can't. I do. So even in that, though, it's going to be one of them side hugs. You see what I'm saying? Because women got breasts. You know what I'm saying? And they come up and they rubbing all up on you and all that. No. So you'll see me throw the one arm on them like this. Man, bless you. Good to see you, sis. Give them a little hug and go about my business. You don't see me funnel hugging and you know, I will kiss the brothers, give them a kiss on the cheek. I don't do that with sisters unless they're my daughters. And I have a lot of daughters in the ministry. And even they get forehead kisses. You see what I'm saying? There's no, because I'm taller. I'm 6'3". I'm taller than all of them. So when I give them a little hug, boom, I kiss them on their forehead. They're my daughters, though. You understand what I'm saying? Be honorable. Just be respectful. This stuff really not hard, y'all. But when you want to walk around in a religious spirit, it can make it hard. Just be honorable and be respectful. You'll know if a brother is trying to holler at you. And there's brothers that are new that don't know. And that information gets to us. We talk to them, and normally it never happens again. Right? Once it's explained, it never happens again. Same with sisters. I've had brothers come to me and be like, hey, this sister will not, we've told her she won't stay out of our face. So then we got to go talk to the sister. What is wrong with you? Why are you hanging around with these brothers? They sitting over here on the thing. When you see a six brothers sitting there, you get up and go somewhere else. That's the instruction. Keep it holy. That way there's no questioning, no questioning whatsoever. No questioning whatsoever. Hallelujah. So, Lord King, I think I touched on that long enough as well. All right. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Y'all need a break? Y'all need what y'all need? Y'all need something? Keep going? What y'all want me to do? I got a few more questions. I got some more I can deal with. I got some more I can dive into. But some of y'all may be like, this is boring. Well, some people like instruction, though. You know, righteous people like judgment, too. You know, not that we're going through a judgment, but I'm just saying, some of us want to be holy. And see, after getting these messages that we heard, people want instruction. Like, how do I do this? How do I function and make this happen? Hallelujah. All right, we're going to move on to the next question. I'm gonna go to this question next. It says, how, give me 2 seconds here so I don't go back over the same stuff. It says, how do we offer up the correct offering to Yah after he has healed us? How do we offer up the correct offering to Yah after he has healed us? Now, we all know the story about the 10 lepers. Everybody knows that story, right? If not, you're going to hear it. So these 10 lepers come. They want to get healed. I'm going to do the little nutcracker version of it, real quick version, I should say. They want to get healed, and Yah heals them, right? All of them go away. But only one of them came back to give Yah thanks for healing them. And that's the one that's mentioned. That's the one that's spoken about, right? So if Yah has healed you in any way, shape, fashion, or form, your number one way to give the proper offering to Yah, right, is to consistently come back and thank him for what he's done. There's nothing wrong with you thanking him every single time you think about it. The praises of the righteous is comely. You see what I'm saying? He ain't rejecting your praise. He ain't. Yeah. So every time you think about it, tell him thank you. Show your gratitude. Now, he may press on your heart to do something specific for individuals. If you led to do that, do that. Because that's being unctioned by Yah, right? And that could be a test for you. He want to see, oh, you really grateful? Go do this then. Because he knows that'll be a blessing for Israel down here. And not that he needs you to bless Israel, because he don't. He could do it himself. But he also needs to test you because you're hopefully, because he healed you and you're grateful and you want to serve him now, you want to follow him and be his disciple, and do the things that he tells you to do, he may want to test your friendship level at that point. Hallelujah. And then go out and testify. Now, I'm not telling you to be oppressive and be religious, but when the occasion is proper and you feel led of the Spirit, a testimony can get a lot of people through. We do a thing called Q&A every week. Just question and answer, right? But part of the question and answer is testimonies, is statements, right? Confessions. Not what you think, like Catholic crap, no. You know, we confess to the Father how he blessed us and how he did this. So, but we have beautiful testimonies all the time. We had a testimony yesterday from an older mother that was just beautiful, how Yah revealed to her before pastors start talking about the rebellion, how she had been rebellion and how he had been faithful to her to pull her up out of the miry clay and everything, just out of the muck and the mire. He pulled her out, and she was walking in. She said, I was in full-fledged rebellion, knew it too. And he showed me even in that he loved me, and then to get me to this point. And then when he had her heart, he had pastor preach a message, and that message totally reminded her of the love of Yah. And she could barely get through the testimony because she was overwhelmed with how much he loved her, and he just instantly forgave her. And then hammered it home with that message, showing her that I care. I don't want you walking around here being no witch and walking in rebellion. I love you. I want you to be restored. I want you to get this thing right. So showing Yah gratitude continually. Now, here's the biggest thing, though. You can show it or say it with your mouth, but it's also better to show it with your actions. Because you can say it all day, oh, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father. But then when he show up and he call on you to do this or call on you to do that, and you make excuses or you're never available or you're walking in fear and you're full of doubt and all that, now you're not showing y'all. You know from what Jesus said, the only thing that's going to nullify his power is doubt, unbelief. Y'all remember the story when Jesus came to the one scene. First thing he did, clear the room out, get these folk out of here. What y'all think he was doing? What do you think he was doing? He was getting rid of all the doubt, all the unbelief, all the ones that don't have the faith. Get out, because you ain't going to help this situation. And a lot of you around people that's full of doubt, full of unbelief. And you wonder why you can't prosper in Yah, because you're still connected with them. You still got these ungodly soul ties with these individuals. You better break yourself free. You better get loose from that. Yeah. And some of you, Pastor been talking about this a little bit. I'm going to throw this in real quick and get back on this question. But some of you still stuck in the same hometown you were born in doing all that. Man, how come you ain't left? How come you ain't left? How come it's acceptable for everybody else to leave except you? You that tied, right? You just got to stay. You got to stay in that same area where you did the majority of your sins, all your dirt, all of that. You keeping it real, huh? You ain't keeping it real for Yah. Man, you become a man of Yah or sister or daughter of Zion, and you want to do some work for Yah, you think them people going to really truly receive you? They remember little Pookie and little Ray Ray. They remember the little skis and running down. They remember that. That's all they're going to remember. They're not going to see you and respect you and honor you for being a spiritual giant, a spiritual guru that you are in their lives, the only thing holy that they may ever see. They're not. That's why you can be without honor in your homeland. So you got to go. I'm from Indiana. You don't see me in Indiana. He put Daniel and them up there. He put me in Georgia, right? See what I'm saying? Now, I ain't saying people got to move far, but I'm just saying your mind has to be in a place where Yah can even tell you that. Some of you, I can tell, he can't even tell you that you got to move. You just believe everything that's going down with him has to take place right there where you've been your whole life. And you got zero reasons to be connected to it. Man, I remember when I went to college, and I wasn't but 3 hours away from home, y'all. I was in another state, but I wasn't but 3 hours away from home. Now, mind you, I'm a man that started paying rent at 14 years old. 2 weeks before my 15th birthday, I paid my first rent, y'all. I was on my own from that time and forever. I've been on my own since I was 14 years old, y'all. I'm talking about on my own, like paying bills.
period. And I know some people, well, I've been out there. Nah, you really went on your own. Your aunt was taking care of you. Somebody was doing, you know, no, I've been paying bills and rent and hustling since 14, right? And I remember going to college, and I just missed Fort Wayne. And I didn't know why. I didn't know why. I mean, my family was there, but I didn't spend no time with my family. I was the black sheep even back then. I was on some college stuff, and they was on some getting drunk and getting high stuff I don't do. You see what I'm saying? But I didn't understand what the draw was, what the draw was. And then I remember my brother, my second oldest brother, he got killed by a drunk driver in a car accident while we were going. We were on the way to the national championship, right, because we had made the national championship tournament. And we were on the way, and he got killed. And I got the news, and, you know, they were going to ship me back and all, but it was like a closed casket because, you know, it was like seven-car pileup. It was bad. So they were like, you know, Marcus gone, and you know, nothing to see, and he would want you to stay. So I stayed. But I remember using that as my excuse because I didn't have a legitimate excuse to leave, but I wanted one. And when that happened, I remember using that and pushing pain on people that I really didn't even have anymore, just as an excuse to justify going back. And as soon as I got back home, guess what, y'all? I was like, man, you know what? It's the worst thing I ever did. I should have stayed. I should have stayed. So what I'm saying all that, sharing all that with y'all for is you need to be in a position spiritually where y'all can tell you to go anywhere you want to go. I talk to the saints down here all the time. We got a beautiful group of saints here. We really do. Mother Jennifer confessed in the last, professed in the last Sister to Sister, that this is the best group of saints we've ever had in Straightway, Georgia, and I 100% agree with her, right? Even the Offlander saints, it's really not any of them that I would not recommend for community right now. But it's up to y'all. You know what I'm saying? We're buying lands. We're doing what we're doing. It kind of seems like it goes at a snail pace at times, but we're doing what y'all's telling us to do when he's telling us to do it. But I told these saints, your heart and mind need to be open. You may not be able to stay here at Straightway, Georgia. Y'all may want to send some of you some other places. But you got to be open. And what if he got you paid to go be with the Mississippi Saints or the Arkansas Saints? You see what I'm saying? Virginia Saints, Ohio Saints, Indiana Saints. What if he wants you to go anywhere? Tennessee. Are you even open to that? Or you got it pegged, man, you know, my job, bump your job. When y'all moved on my heart and told me Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, I was gone. I didn't need no extra revelation. I knew exactly what he was saying. And I had pretty much been in my hometown of Fort Wayne, Indiana, my whole life. And I left that wicked church I was a part of. I left that job I was on, making all that good money, what the world called good money. I left my children. I left everything. Left it all. Didn't take much for me. I leaped out. Now, if I had the understanding that I have now, I'd have done a little different because I wouldn't have leaped out. I would have just came out and been wise. But I leaped out in faith, and that's why he honored me. Some of you not in that position. So we need to get there. Hopefully I didn't get too far off track. Hopefully I did answer the question when it comes to the proper offering to Yah. Your actions is the main thing that's going to show Yah that you are grateful and you have extreme gratitude for him healing you. Hallelujah. And see, I can tell you another thing. Once you get set free, there should be a deep burning desire in you for others to feel and experience what you have just felt and experienced. This is why we only have a small handful of us that are really like juggernauts when it comes to deliverance. This is why. Because it's a labor of love. And when you have been in that chair and you have dealt with your demons, you have dealt with your pride, you have dealt with your rejection, you have dealt with your anger, you've dealt with your fears, you've dealt with all these things that hinder you, right? And you get to start walking in that freedom, and you notice how clear your mind can take in information and then relay it back out.
how it literally changes the way you think and changes the way you speak. You want that for others. Not that they'll come and pat you on the back, say, hey, good job, brother, sister, good job. No. So that he can get all the glory, all of it. A lot of us are selfish, self-centered, self-focused, self-absorbed. If we can't see benefit for us, we're not doing it. All I can tell you is this, that type of attitude, that type of spirit, it ain't making it into the kingdom. Hallelujah. All right. All right, all right. Let's see here. Next question. Shout out to all the saints that sent your questions. Now, it was so many sent this week, I won't be able to get to all of them. Like I said, some of them I have already responded to because I just discerned and realized, okay, this ain't really something we need to cover on the brother segment. So I just answered them already. Some of them I'm going to think on a little bit longer. I'm going to meditate on the word a little bit more. I don't necessarily need to research it because I get it, but it's just I want to deliver it the way y'all want to deliver it. And believe it or not, like say you can send me a question. If he don't tell me the answer, guess what I ain't going to do, y'all? I ain't going to answer it. I could know the answer. If he ain't gave me a release to give it to you, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm a obedient, willing, cheerful, grateful servant. So I got no problem doing what I'm told to do, right? So in the world, you get a lot of folk, man, he's a yes man. I kind of don't even know what that means. I wish somebody could, like, really, like, break that down and explain that to me. Because I think they want to say that in a negative tone or, you know, try to put me down. But I always take it as a compliment that I'm a man of order. I'm a man of honor and integrity. That's how I look at it, you know. I have no problem following orders. I understand and know you're not going to be a good leader unless you can follow. It's not possible. If you can't follow, you can't be a good leader. Okay, the greatest leader we had here walking on this earth had to be Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, right? Did he not submit to all the disciples, to all the saints? Did they not give him orders every single day he was out there? Heal me, deliver me, set me free. And what was he doing? Following them orders. It was not his father giving him instruction to feed the sheep with. What was he doing? Feeding the sheep. So the example we got before us, man, I'm going to keep rolling that direction. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Praise y'all. All right, y'all. All right. Where we at, man? Uh-oh. Let my screen die out. There we go. All right, we're an hour in, a little bit over an hour in. Hallelujah. Time is flying to me, y'all. Glory to the King. Next question. It says, where's the balance when you have to be out in the world still? Because a lot of us still have to work these jobs and all this kind of stuff, right? Still be around the heathens like that. Where is the balance when you're out there working with them? Because you know how the book talks about we shouldn't, that's not what I want to say. The book speaks about how the world is going to hate you. That's what I wanted to say. It speaks about that, right? But again, I said this earlier, too, how the book talks about how we just owe no man nothing but love. And I think a lot of saints need to know and understand that Yah, he said, I can make a rock cry out. Like, if you don't want to praise me, he can literally make a rock do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally picture that, y'all. Literally picture a rock just praising the Father. Picture him having to come down and have a donkey speak just to get your attention, just to get to prove a point to you. You see what I'm saying? So when this world is going to hate us, it doesn't mean that you won't be around and have folk that would be considered like friends of the ministry or friends of your faith, because you want to stay away from toxic people, people that speak negative things, harsh things, things that don't line up with the book. But there are some people that admire, even though they may not have the strength or they may not have a calling, they still admire your lifestyle, your walk, your integrity, the way you carry yourself, the way you deal with folk. They respect it. And there's nothing wrong with them paying honor to you. Because, like, I know some people get kind of concerned. They're like, man, I'm on my job, and I know I'm doing my best to serve the Father and live this type of lifestyle even here, letting the people see that I serve Yah. I'm not compromising. I'm not in the heathen conversations. I'm not doing any of that, but I still keep, you know, getting favor, and I still keep, they love me. Why is that? I mean, what am I doing wrong? You ain't doing nothing wrong. A lot of times the favor of Yah will come when he knows that you can be trusted with it. You won't allow promotions and pay raises and, you know, stuff like that to go to your head and say, okay, well, now I can compromise my biblical and my godly and my Hebraic standards. You see what I'm saying? So he can trust you. And I know a lot of us know the story of Daniel, and we know the story of Joseph, and, you know, we know these stories of how these men were put in positions, in natural positions, and they were honored, and they were put in very high positions in these countries. You see what I'm saying? Because of the gifts that the Most High Yah had put in them, levels of wisdom, interpreting dreams, things of this magnitude. Again, your gift will make room before you. It said before great men. It didn't say they all had to be godly. You see what I'm saying? So when your gift is making room for you, your number one thing is just stay on point with Yah. Never compromise the standards of the book. Never. I remember a job I had. They loved me at that job. They did. They liked me a lot. I never really had issues with anybody at that job. I took a really base job, y'all, like base. Like before coming to Straightway, y'all, I had never even worked a job that where I ever made minimum wage. I had my first corporate job at 19. Right. And so I just needed to work when I, you know, because I had leaped out. Remember, I told you I leaped out, meaning I wasn't working no jobs. I thought I had to have my social security number out the system. And also I was living on faith for 3 straight years, straight faith. Right. Not out here begging folk for donations and offers, and all that. Just going out serving and trusting y'all to provide for my needs. And he did. For 3 straight years. Well, you've been doing it longer than that, but I mean, for that time when I didn't go out and just acquire a job on the streets or whatever, he took care of me, no doubt about it, right? No doubt about it. And he's still doing that today. Hallelujah. But I do remember being in these scenarios, in these situations, where favor was just on me all the time. And I had a job where they would ask me, like, please take a manager job, please take a manager job, please take a manager job, please take a manager job. And I'm like, no, because the base job, the responsibility, I knew they would never, in that base position, try to get me to compromise keeping the Shabbat and working on the Sabbath day and all that. I knew it. But I said, in the manager position, y'all try to pull rank, and something go down, and you'll be like, oh, well, you the manager, you need to be there. And I'd be like hell, this is Shabbat. You're going to get the voicemail anyways. You ain't going to actually get to talk to me. You see what I'm saying? So I was constantly, for years, I just turned it down. And then in the end, a manager came to me and said, you know, I see we've been trying to promote you forever. You just won't take it. What's the deal? I hear it's about your face and da-da-da-da. And I said, yeah. She said, if I can guarantee you on paper that we will never impose your Sabbath beliefs, will you take the manager job? And at the time, now my mom had just passed away. Some of y'all remember that because that happened when I was in the faith. And I was working at Amazon. And I actually, they didn't know this, but I had just quit Amazon that day. I took the, 2 weeks bereavement you get off when and then I already knew I was leaving. I wasn't going to go back and work for them, right? Now, I didn't know what y'all had planned for me next. I just knew it was time for me to leave and I was done, right? So that decision was made. So that day I went in and I had to let them know that day if I was going to come back or not come back. So I went in, did all the paperwork, told them I was done. I was resigning, whatever the case may be. So I went to my little part-time job that I still had, and I get there, and that's when the manager is saying, hey, if I can guarantee you this, will you take the job? Long story short, I ended up saying yes, if she could guarantee it to me. And I'm telling y'all, that was the 3 worst weeks of my life. I did it for 3 weeks. And I was miserable being a manager at that place. Why? There was no work. They had took all the work from the manager, and I was an overnight manager. So they took all the work. So I literally would have a 10-hour shift, and they would literally give me like an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of work to do. I was going crazy. I couldn't stand it. I mean, we had the cleanest store that you've ever seen. I faced so many cans and wiped stuff. I had to stay busy doing something. And another job came about, and I quickly quit that job and went to the other job. Now, were they happy with me? No, they were mad because they've been trying to get me for 4 years, and when I finally do it, I don't even last a month. But at the end of the day, when you work with integrity and you work with honor and you keep the standards of the Most High, there's nothing wrong if Yah is showing you favor in their eyes. That doesn't mean you're selling out. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're not living up to the standards of Yah. They're supposed to hate you. No, they hate who you represent. First and foremost. Now, they may show you favor on that job, but that don't mean they're going to come follow your God. Does that make sense? So that's the part you need to be concerned about. Excuse me, y'all. Let me get some water. Take a little drink of water. All right, all right. So hopefully I got that question answered. Just because you're being shown favor on the job, your balance that you need with that is always making sure that you stay in the love of Yah and that you never compromise the standards that you know have been set as a Hebrew, as an Israelite, as a man or woman of Yah. Just walk in integrity, walk in honor. It may cost you a job. You never know. But if you that type of individual that Yah is showing favor and mercy and he's brought you before great men, so they can honor you, just receive that, but still give him all the glory. Because you just never know when your Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego opportunity may show up at your door. Will you be able to stand then? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. All right. We rolling, y'all. We rolling. So what I got today, I got one more question. Now, you know what? We got a little time, right? Let me look here. Yeah, we got a little time. Let's go to the chat room. Let's go to the chat room. Blessings. I can type something in there, too. Hallelujah. Oh, let me see if I can type something on this one. I can do the same in this one. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, anybody in the chat room got any questions before I go to this last question? Anything come across your heart? I talk about this type of stuff in Q&A all the time. I let people know, look, man, we get just a smorgasbord of information. The preaching is just, I can't even use it. I don't have English words to describe what Yah is doing for us, the blessings he's putting on us, the level of love and instruction he gives us. But I also ain't dumb to think that we can retain all this. You know, this is why certain messages that touch your heart the way they do need to be listened to over and over and over and over again so it can just become a part of you. Hallelujah. So this is why we have these opportunities for these types of questions to be asked. Like, I know some of these questions that were asked, they weren't asked for the individuals. They got the understanding. Some of them do. They asked it because, in general, they see this level of lack in Israel in certain places. So that's why they ask those types of questions. Hallelujah. And it's good. Like I tell them in Q&A, look, you may think that it's a simple, basic question, but if you press in your heart, ask it. Why? Because it may be two or three other people thinking the same thing. It may be 10 people thinking the same thing. Patrick Coleman, he said, could you speak on the line between honor and respecting personages? We can show more honor to some verses. Others, some versus others, but when does it cross the line? Very good question. Very good question, Brother Patrick. And the answer to that question, bless you, Brother Gideon. Bless you, my brother. Glad y'all made it back home safely. Hallelujah. Glory to the King, y'all. I'm going to get you a question, Brother Patrick. We sure had a good time with our brothers from North Carolina yesterday, Brother Gideon and his wife and child. And Brother Brad and his new wife and child, and then our blessed sister Aviz, they came yesterday and fellowship with us. They had business here, so they stayed over the weekend. Man, it was just beautiful to see them all, man. We just had just a good time, and it was hard because some of y'all remember we've been telling y'all this heat, it makes us get up early, right? So it's kind of hard to just hang out late when you know you got to get up early and hit it hard and hit it in this heat. So you could tell the Saints was wanting to hang, but at the same time, they were like, man, we got to go. We got to get up early. We got a long day tomorrow. We got a lot to do. Because y'all know first days in Israel, we get it in. We get as much accomplished because most brothers are off on first day. So, but, man, it was so good to see Brother Gideon and his family, man. It was so good to see Brother Brad. Got to see the new couple. You know, they just got married here recently. And see our beloved sister Aviz. She came and stayed. How long was she here with us? A week? 2 weeks now? At least 2 weeks, man. She stayed with us for a long time. We just, this special spot in our heart for our sister, man. We just love her so dearly. We love our North Carolina Saints dearly. So hopefully next time it's a whole assembly affair type of thing. You know what I mean? Where the whole assembly can come and just hang out and you know, we say put tents, but we got that big old multi-purpose building so y'all can throw cots up in there and sleep. You know what I'm saying? It's got bathrooms in there, kitchen in there. We good. You know what I mean? So, but it was just beautiful to have them here. But Brother Patrick, let me get back to your question. Hallelujah. I'm glad y'all made it home safe, my brother. Yes, glory to the King. All right, I'm going to read it again, you guys. He said, could you speak on the lines between honoring and respecting personages? We can show more honor to some versus others, but when does it cross the line? And so the question is, when does it cross the line? It crosses the line when you start to show honor and respect for the simple fact that you want to be acknowledged in it. That's where you know you got a major problem. See, when you start to do things just to be acknowledged, now you know you're going down that wrong road. Or if you elevate others just because of their title above others, that's when you're in trouble too. Now, again, don't get me wrong. If you got someone that's a pastor or a teacher or an elder, a deacon, or a mother or, you know, a head of assembly, something like that, they deserve honor because they're in a leadership position. But that don't mean that you automatically do for them and then shun for the rest because, again, y'all seen the same things that I'll do for Pastor Dowell and Straightway, right? I do it for y'all. I'll do it for any of y'all. If it's in my power and you got that need, guess what? We're going to provide it. You see what I'm saying? We don't just do it for, you know, Pastor Dowell or Brother Daniel or Brother Kabir or Brother Yashar out there in D.C., you know, the leaders. We don't just swapping around the leaders. No, all the saints, if you got the need, we're going to do it. And most of the time, the leaders don't need nothing because we're so busy thinking about y'all that y'all benefit much more than we do. But where it becomes a problem, like my brother Patrick is asking about, when we cross that line, is when you're doing it for gain's sake, when you're doing it to be recognized, when you're doing it so that you could be seen amongst men and receive certain accolades. I know folk that'll do stuff just to get their names spoken. Believe it or not, y'all, I don't have many temptations, right? I don't have many temptations at all, like the devil tempt me with stuff. It just don't. It ain't there. But I tell you one thing that the devil tries to do all the time, and I laugh. I'm like, why is it? And I go to the Father, like, why is he still doing this? Like, I ain't going to go that route. Every now and then, like, say, Pastor Dowell is saying something, y'all. Right? Now, the book is clear. Ain't nothing new under the sun. So Elder Rufus ain't created nothing, y'all. I ain't made up nothing new. So I ain't got no catchy phrases that the world ain't never heard. You see what I'm saying? I ain't stupid like that. I get it, right? But there'll be times where, like, me and Pastor are talking, and then privately, and then he'll get up and he'll say something similar to what I might have said. And the devil will be like, see, you said that. He taking the glory for it. And I'm like, he should. He's worthy of it. You know, so I'm instantly in, you know, defense mode with the devil. You damn right he better take, you know. Now, mind you, neither one of us is thinking about that. Yah gets all the glory. But every now and then he'll try to, like, sneak something in like that with me. And I just go into full-fledged warfare. And by the time I get done talking to him for 2-3 minutes, I done forgot what the hell he was trying to put in my mind, honestly. I done forgot. But you got to be real and you got to be honest with yourself and say, okay, this is something that the devil thinks he can still get in. There could be something there. I need to go deal with that. Instead of sitting back and saying, ah, that ain't nothing. The next thing you know, now you walk around offended like, man, all he do is steal my ideas, man. He ain't got nothing new. He need me. No, he don't. I promise you he don't. Y'all don't need you. None of the men of y'all, I'm telling you, none of us are needed. Y'all can replace any of us just like that. Just like that. We are here because he loves us and he chose us. And we should never forget it. Never forget it. But to answer your question fully, brother, man, you get to a point of crossing that line when you're looking for accolades from men, when you're looking to be honored, you're looking to be patted on the back. See, this stuff we all doing, the book says it's reasonable service. It's reasonable service. This is what we should do. We don't deserve no accolades for building homes. We don't deserve no accolades for making a meal. We don't deserve no accolades for cleaning out the chicken coop. We don't deserve no accolades for none of that. That is just reasonable service that we should want to give. If we are skilled in these areas or we blessed with knowledge in these areas, we should want these to be blessings for our family, period, point blank. Period, point blank. I was talking today. I don't even remember who it was. I don't remember who it was. Let me see if I can even remember this whole story. I remember talking, and I remember breaking it down. I can't even remember exactly what it was, but I remember breaking it down, and I was like, see, you should – oh, we was talking about, like, gardening. We was talking about gardening. And I said, you know, and the individual, they had, a traumatic past when it came to it from the things that family members used to make them do when they were children when it came to gardening. You know, probably being out in the hot sun and all day, you know what I mean? So as a child, they hated gardening. Like, man, this stuff sucks. You see what I'm saying? So then it translated over to their adulthood, and now they're in Israel, and they garden, and they don't, and it's like, and they were confessing, saying, man, you know, now I'm starting to like it. In the beginning, when you asked me, I was hesitant about this. Like, man, nobody like this stuff. Who likes to get out here in this hot heat and pull weeds and do this and do that? You know what I mean? But they started to get the understanding of it, and I said, I start breaking down saying, yeah, and then another thing, you know, because they were talking about the aspect of it, you know, where Yah can speak to you when you get your hands in the dirt and all this kind of stuff. And I said another aspect for them is that as a woman, you can provide for your family. You literally need to feed your family this way. And it's simple and basic, but the individual's like, you know what? I never thought about it from that perspective. And you could see in that individual the joy of Yah revealing that to her. Now she has even greater motivation to get out in the garden. Something that simple, y'all. But it's about Yah. It's not about us is what I'm getting at. It's 100% about Yah and him receiving all the glory for everything we did. Why? He took all the stripes. Why can't he get all the glory? Did he not take on all your sins? Did he not go down that road and take that beating when they tied him to that tree? Did he not do it? So you telling me that wasn't worthy enough for him to get all the glory, all the honor, all the praise? He ain't worthy of that from that one act alone. Oh, y'all about to make me go in. Y'all about to make me go in. Hallelujah. Praise y'all. Glory to the King. All right. Let me see here. Was there another question in there? Brother Patrick, Elder, you answered and confirmed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you this. When I be seeing the saints that live overseas, and I can't wait to that day, y'all. I know the crazy crap with the borders and all this kind of stuff. I can't wait till we have our day where I can see my Australia saints and European saints and African saints and the Canada saints. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait, man. I can't wait till we get to that day. Glory to the King. But I tell you this, I know that what you call this thing, social media and all this kind of stuff, you know, it's like money to me. It's like Federal Reserve notes. It's like that. It just takes on the character of the individual that's using it. You know what I mean? You can get on here and do wicked stuff, and guess what? A bunch of wicked people will follow you. Or you can get on here and do righteous stuff, and righteous folk will follow you. So when you got, you know, Federal Reserve notes in your hand, they just take on your character. So if you wicked and evil, you got wicked and evil money because that's what you're going to use it for. And if you're righteous and holy, you're going to use it for that. So glory to the King. All right, glory to the King. All right, I didn't see no more questions there. Let me look here.
I see one in the got another question out here, Brother Josh, in the Blog Talk chat room. Glory to the King. All right. Brother Josh said, can you expound on breaking soul ties, the importance and the effects you have seen? I can tell you right now, I'm going to go from the back to the front on this question, because he said the effects that I have seen. The effects that I have seen from those that do not break wicked, ungodly, unethical soul ties with people is damning. And I hope you understand what I mean when I say damning. These are people that will eventually blow hell wide open, y'all. When you can't get past any type of soul tie that you have, the Bible is extremely clear. Jesus said that if you don't love me more than your father, your mother, your wives, your husband, your children, you name it, every single thing that breathes that can be important, he named. We are charged to love him more. Why? Because none of those people did what he did for you. None of them. They may have sacrificed. They may have labored and did some stuff, but none of them took on all your sins. Matter of fact, the majority of them, especially because we're talking about ungodly soul ties, we understand what the law says. These things are being passed down through the third and fourth generations of those that hate Yah. These sins are being passed down. So you got these soul ties with these people that Yah have not called. He has not brought them to the knowledge of the truth. He's not dealing with them. So they're not a part of his kingdom. But he chose you above them. Still trying to hold on to them. You still trying to keep relationships. You still trying to capitulate and comply to their demands, knowing that they're ungodly, knowing that you should be breaking away, knowing that they done vex you and jack your whole family up, dictating and controlling and trying to dominate your life when they didn't sacrifice life for you. They didn't. They didn't take on all your sins. They couldn't. They wasn't pure enough. They wasn't holy enough. It had to be a pure offering. It had to be a holy, righteous offering, worthy of it. None of them are, because they're sinners. They're stained. Their spots, but you want to hold on to them. So the effects I see is a lot of folks saying, you know what, I love my mama more than I love Yah. I love my father more than I love Yah. I love my children more than I love Yah. I love my wicked grandbabies more than I love Yah. I love my aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews more than I love Yah. I love my coworkers. I love my ex-wife. I love my ex-husband. I love whoever more than I love Yah. When he clearly tells you, if you care about them more than you do me, you're not worthy of my kingdom. So if you don't get to a point to where you break these soul ties with these people, you repent and you cancel these curses that's been passed on for generation to generation to generation, you're going to find yourself face to face with the pit. That's the effect, Brother Josh. That's the end result, because these people have been elevated. That's another level of respect to a person. You love these individuals. Why? Did you choose her? I didn't choose my mama. Now, I know this may sound harsh to some of you, but I didn't have a choice in who my mama was going to be. And guess what? I do get the choice to choose who I want to serve, though. He loved me that much, even though he thought of me before I was even created. He created me. He shaped me. He molded me. He blessed me. He showed me favor. He's just so worthy of everything. To me, it don't even make sense. It don't even make sense that we wouldn't want to give everything to him for what he's done for us. So to keep these soul ties of people that we know vex our life, talk bad about our beliefs, try to influence our spouses at times, try to penetrate the minds of our children and their grandchildren. Come on now. But they, mama, I got to deal with why. What happened? Let's go to the book then. What happened? Was not the Messiah sitting there teaching? He had his emissaries. He had the disciples there and others, right? That's what the book said.
and he was teaching. And they said, Master, or teacher, there's your mother and your brothers at the door. They want to inquire of you. They came to check on Jesus, y'all. This was his mother. This was his brother. One thing you don't hear in that text is Jesus ever instructing them to open the door. You don't hear it. If you got it in your version, let me see it, because your version probably jacked up. I'll never remember him saying, open the door, let him in. He said, who is my mother and my brothers? Then he pointed at everybody in that room that was listening to him, that he knew they were following him and supporting him 100%. They had left everything and gave all. He pointed at them, and he said, these are my mothers and my brothers, those that do the will of the Father. Those are the ones that you stay connected to. If they're not doing that and you connected, that's an ungodly soul tie that needs to be broke. Now, here's the thing, and hear me clearly. You can have a family member. You can have someone in your past. If they're not hindering your walk, you don't got to deal with it. They could be a friend of the ministry. They could be a supporter. I got plenty, not plenty, but I got a few people that don't do nothing to hinder our walk. Actually, they support it. Now, they don't live like we live, but they respect and they honor what we do. So they send offerings and they send tithes and they send gifts to help with the work of the ministry. That's not the person I'm telling you to cut off. I'm telling you on this ungodly soul tie thing, the one that's trying to spit in your mind telling you what you believe is wrong. The one that's trying to tell you you're wrong for not coming and visiting me on these holidays and these hella days and these birthdays and all this stuff. The ones that don't respect and they don't honor your commitment to the Father, and they're constantly trying to get in and get you to do something opposed to that, that's the one you need to break soul ties with. And that comes from confessing with your mouth. You got to start with that commitment first between you and the Father, that you're done with these type of individuals, and they will never dictate and control your life ever again. Then you get your tail in the deliverance chair, because I promise you a bunch of stuff going to be revealed. A lot of stuff you probably didn't even know was there. Hallelujah. But it's very important. I'm glad you asked that question, Brother Josh, that these soul ties get broke, because they're going to influence your mind. You think you're stronger than these spirits. Most of you not, unfortunately. You think you're stronger, but you're not, and they're going to overtake you. I've seen it too many times, where Pastor Dial has literally beg saints. I mean, just beseech them. Don't do it. Don't go messing with that spirit. You ain't no match for it. Next thing you know, they gone. They gobbled up by the world, y'all. Gone. Souls gone. Families gone. All because one person puffed up with pride and, well, a man ain't going to tell me not to talk to my mama. I didn't tell you not to talk to your mama. Jesus told you to let her go, especially if she opposed to him. Now, if your mom supports you in this and don't do nothing to hinder you, you ain't got to break that relationship off. That's not a bad soul tie. She ain't hurting you. She ain't hindering you. She ain't trying to influence you to go against the ways of Yah. Man, we got a son, right? Well, Jennifer got a son. He was so honorable. He said, I'm not getting married unless my mom and her husband can come. And everything going to have to match what they believe in. Flat out, or we ain't getting married, because they got to be there. So they altered their wedding to fit our beliefs. Mother Jennifer, you in there? Is that not what our son did? Altered their wedding to fit our beliefs. And we said, well, we only going to be there for a certain amount of time. Once we gone, do what y'all do. And they did. And guess when we left? Before the Sabbath came in. That's honor. That's respect. He's never once crossed us. He's never once spoke an ill word against our faith. Never once done nothing but support us. If we say something to him, if we give him instruction, he follows it. I got a daughter. And I'm saying these are
not in the faith with me. You know, I got daughters in the faith, but these are people that's not in the faith. I have a daughter, 26 years old, just does everything I tell her to do. She said, Dad, I will be stupid not to listen to the words you tell me. Why? Every single thing you've ever told me has always worked out to my good. The few times that I didn't do exactly what you told me, I found myself in trouble. Them days are over, Dad. I don't have to cut her off. Why? She ain't hindering my walk. I don't talk to her every day. I don't have time to talk to her every day, y'all. But when we talk, it's edifying, and we ain't just talking about crazy stuff. Guess what we're talking about? Ways for her to get out. Ways for her to get down here around us, because that's what she want to do. But we don't talk that often. We don't. A couple times a month. But that ain't taking nothing from Israel, and it ain't hindering nothing. Now, I have other family members that are drunkards. They're druggies. They're whoremongers. They're liars. They cheat. They steal. They corrupt. And guess what? I never speak to them. They don't know where I'm at besides Georgia, and I don't know where they at besides where they at, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, wherever, California, wherever. We'll spend no time talking. Why? Because they own some other stuff that's against what the will of Yah is. I don't have time for them. And I remember telling my family, when Yah moved on my heart, I told them, any of you get in the way of me finding the man of Yah and the people of Yah, I'm going to find the Father. I'm going to find this truth. I don't know where it's going to take me. But any of you get in my way, I will cut you off in a New York minute. I told my family that. I will cut you off. I will never speak to you again. Won't be nothing off my chest because you ain't serving the Father. You don't care nothing about him, even though he gave you life. He gave you the breath you breathe every day. You ain't got no love for him, so don't come at me sideways like you know this Yah that I'm chasing and I'm serving. I don't want to hear it. Get in my way, you'll be done. Now, I'm not telling all you to do that. Maybe you got to handle yours a different way. But don't let nothing stand between you and the love of Yah. Don't let nothing separate you from this love. Nothing. Nothing is worth you going to hell over. That I guarantee. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. My. Hey, shalom. I see we got a lot more saints than stepped in here with us. Bless y'all. Sister June from Alberta, Canada. Brother Shannon, bless you, my brother. How the computer look, man? It's the one you recommended. How it look, brother? Brother Brent, my precious brother. Bless you, brother. I love you dearly. I know you know that. Hallelujah. Question about selling off. Where is it at? Is it in, what's it in, though? Oh, YouTube. Okay. No, that's fine. We're trying to sell our stuff, and we're having difficulty getting rid of it. Do you have any counsel on it? Yeah, give it away. I got great counsel for you. Can't sell it, give it away. You ever heard Pastor Dow's testimony about that? When him and Mother Carol were selling everything, they had a yard sale. Put it all out in the front yard. Started off with, the prices was low from the beginning. Like, Pastor was selling stuff that should have sold for $50, $60 for $5. He was just getting rid of it, right? Then when stuff slowed down, he took everything down to a dollar. Then everything down to 10 cents, stuff like that. Then he just gave everything away. And the stuff that people wouldn't take, he threw away. So that's my advice to you. And guess what? It's funny. Pastor Dow and them did that, right? Ask Mother Jennifer what we did when I first went out. And I had already got rid of everything before I met Mother Jennifer. But when I met her, Mother Jennifer had so much stuff, y'all. I filled up 3 dumpsters full of her stuff. Did I not, Mother Jennifer? 3 dumpsters, y'all. 3. Not 1, not 2. 3 dumpsters. Not trash cans. Dumpsters. I threw all her stuff away. We sold a couple things. We gave away some really nice stuff. We did consignment, y'all. We did. We knew we were leaving, but we'd be back in the area. So she had a lot of high-end, like, jeans. And, like, I was like, this stuff people will come in this consignment store and buy.
So we left it at the consignment store. We went on our way. Then we come back in the area of the consignment store. Oh, you guys got $150. You got this. We did that. But we got rid of everything. Ask Straightway. When we showed up to Straightway, me and Mother Jennifer, every single thing we owned in this world was in the back seat and the trunk of a 95 Lincoln Continental. And we've never been happier. Everything we own, we traveled with. Why? I didn't need nothing in this world. I was chasing Yah. I was going to find the man of Yah, because I knew it was the man of Yah. I knew it was a man of Yah out there, and I was going to find the people of Yah. I knew the man of Yah would be with them. And finding that group, I knew I was going to find Yah, because he's always in this book. He told me he's with his people, and I was looking for him. I literally was looking for him, y'all. I literally was looking for him. Now, why it take 3 years? Ask Yah. I don't know. It took me 3 years to find him. And the rest is still being written. Last I checked, the books are still open. Hallelujah. The books are still open. But that's a good question. You trying to get rid of all your stuff? Sell it all. If don't sell, give it away. People won't take it, throw it away. There it is. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? It's material stuff. Here's the key. What of that is you going to take to the kingdom with you? What of that can you take to the grave with you? You see what I'm saying? It's only valuable to you. That I can tell you. It's only valuable to you. Y'all don't care nothing about it. All our riches are stored up there with him. Hallelujah. That's where all our riches are stored at. We got 124 saints and friends in here. If you like what you're hearing, please hit the – yeah, saints, y'all already know the routine. I ain't even checking the numbers. Hit the like button. I shouldn't even have to say that. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Hit the like button. Share the video. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Praise Yah. Man, it was good hanging out with y'all tonight. That went quick to me. Maybe it's because I'm doing all the darn talking, huh? Yeah, I see the numbers now. 120 folk in here. Where it at? No, I don't dare. No, it ain't. It ain't no more. Unless it's, no, I'm looking. I don't think it is. Will you speak to the importance of self-governing as to not grieve our shepherd and leaders? The heads of the community, there it is, yeah. Hemer tribe, that's the deaconym, that's Duke out there in the KC. Hallelujah. All right, the question is, will you speak to the importance of self-governing as to not grieve our shepherds and our leaders and our heads of communities? Well, Pastor just did a message about this here recently, and most of y'all, these are so basic, the basic stuff, y'all know this. It's not profiting you. The book is clear that when you don't submit to the ones that he gives rule over you, it's going to end up not profitable for you. What do you think that means? Now, we're concrete people. You don't really have to guess and, well, I don't know. Yeah, you do. You're going to sit here, and you're going to be out of the order of Yah, and you're going to do your best to constantly cause grief and stress and put extra work on the leaders and the community heads and the pastors and the elders and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to end up profitable for you. What you think that means? You're going to be the one butt out. You're going to be the one on the outside looking in. That's what it means. If you can't get the basic order, now, the Messiah, we talked about this earlier, he came and was the great example of showing you how to submit, how to walk in the order of the kingdom of Yah by not doing what you want to do, but being a servant to all and doing what you're told to do. Do what you've been commanded to do. He showed us how to do that. So here it is. You're going to come, and you got all these excuses of why you won't listen to this sister when she over you, or why you won't listen to this brother when he over you. You've been sent to this ministry. Yah has set up pastors, teachers, deacons, elders, heads of assemblies. The book says these men are faithful. Go out and make elders everywhere you go. That's what pastor's done. He's been faithful in that. Go out and make elders in all these places. And then you can go back to the law when you're dealing with Moses. And remember, his father-in-law Jethro showed up and saw the burden that was on Moses. Said, man, look, you got faithful men. You got men that can handle 100. You got men that can handle 50 and all. Y'all know the numbers. That's what we're doing. So here it is. It's been governed out. His government is solid. It's sure. And you want to be one of the people that buck that and constantly got questions and I need understanding and no, you don't. You need obedience. You need obedience. You need a willingness to submit and obey. That's all you need. Because the words are clear. The reason you can't hear them is because you have an ulterior motive. You have other things you want to do. You think from a different alternative light, and it ain't that bright. I promise you. So if you comply and you get in line and you submit and you obey, then the blessings of Yah will show up in your favor. It's just how it works. Man, Elder, you so blessed. Guess why? Guess why? Well, I don't deny the Yah blessing. I don't deny it at all. I don't deny it at all. Guess why, though? Because I gave all. I submitted all. Did you walk away from a $200,000 a year job? Did you walk away from wives? Did you walk away from homes, lands, children, family? Did you do it? Now, if you did, good. Watch the favor of Yah show up in your life. But see, Yah know he can bless most of us leaders because it ain't for us. It ain't for us. It's for y'all. We're going to take it and do for Israel. Buy more lands, build more structures, build more homes, and get more people out of debt, pull them off these jobs so they can come work these lands. Some of y'all just need the experience of just being able to get up in the morning. I wish I could turn this camera around and just walk out here to one of your raised beds, cut you up some Swiss chard, some kale, some spinach, get you some carrots, get you a tomato, go to your chicken coop and get you some fresh eggs, come up in here, wash everything up real good, start chopping and dicing it, put it all in the big old bowl, then get you some homemade, not none of that store-bought, some homemade salad dressing. Or some of us just old school. We just get a little salt and pepper, a little sea salt and pepper. Let's get it. And taste the fruits of your labor. It'll make you appreciate Yah so much more. And I bet you wouldn't be wasting. I bet you wouldn't be wasting. All right. Y'all pressing. Y'all pressing because we about out. And I don't have the leeway to go over 2 hours. So I ain't doing it. Nope. We'll wait. We'll do it for last next week. Now, this one says, what is the best way to maintain holiness and purity while we are working away from the saints? That starts in your private time with Yah. You got to build up thy holy faith, like the book says. You have to stir up the gifts that are in you, all right? You got to do that first and foremost. See, you can't be living jacked up, not connected, and not living in a holy manner and set the atmosphere for Yah and the Spirit to show up and to bless and to minister to you. You got all this crazy crap going on music-wise and all this crazy information from the internet, you know, games and all this kind of stuff. That's all you got. Then when you get out there with the world, the devil like, uh-huh, see, that's one of mine. They mind is set on the carnal stuff. They're not doing holy things and righteous things all day. They doing this. So that's one of mine. And then you're going to get all the hell you need out there in the world. So if you want to be pure and you want to be holy and you want to be righteous when you go out there, believe you me, that is set in your private time. That is set in your closet. You create that atmosphere daily, and it has to be pure. It has to be holy. It has to be sincere and righteous. It can't be no ritual. Well, I got my 30 minutes in. I got my hour in. Protect me, Yah. No. Have a real, true relationship with Yah. Talk to him. Sup with him. meditate on the things that he says. The Bible ain't a novel, believe it or not, y'all. It's not a novel. It's a history book of our history, the Hebrews. But it ain't supposed to be read like a novel, and it's not written in chronological order. So you're going to have to thump, and you're going to have to search. You're going to have to do your due diligence and be led of the Spirit. But if you want to be holy around people on the outside when you're away from the saints, you have to be holy in your private time. You set the atmosphere for who you are as a saint. You do. Sister Jordan, I have to use her as an example. She in a whole nother country. She's 13 years old. Parents wicked as all get out. Jordan would literally go hide in her closet and listen to the messages. She kept herself holy no matter what her parents said. Her mama literally tried to hoe her out, y'all. Wanted her to go out and date black men and sleep with them. What kind of BS is that? And she said, nope, nope. As soon as she got of age, because she got social security on that, she left. And it was nothing they could do. And look how y'all's blessed. You got a husband, a couple children. Come on now. Living it straight way. She's covered. She's anointed by y'all. She's a blessing. So I ain't trying to hear it. I'm not trying to hear it. Oh, you don't know my situation, Etta. Really? Really? I know your situation. I've seen you before. Now I'm talking to that spirit that you're talking from. Mr. Excuse. I've seen you before. Mrs. Excuse. Quit making excuses and just get it done. People talk about my life like, man, how'd you do all this stuff and you had no father there and da-da-da? Because the things that was jacked up, I let it motivate me. I made commitments to the father, commitments to future children, commitment to wives, saying, you know what, because I didn't have this, I'm going to make sure you get it. Because this wasn't available to me, I'm going to make sure it's always available to you. Let it motivate you. Quit using the excuses. And I promise you, Yah will meet you where your faith is at. And he'll give you the strength. You can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. He's the one that gives you the strength to do it. You just got to believe it. So you got to stir up the gift. You got to exercise your faith. If you're going to go out and be away from the saints for any given time, because you're going to have to stand strong. You're going to need to be a pillar in that thing. So that comes from your commitment to talk and sup and sit and meditate with the Most High. Pray in tongues. Y'all should be doing a lot more praying in tongues. We don't pray in tongues enough. I know this. I know this. I see it. The devil may know all the thousands of languages in the world, but there's one he don't, and that's tongues. The book is real clear. Only the Father alone knows what's being said. So that's a perfect line of communication from you to the Father to where he can download back into you what you need. Devil can't do nothing about that transmission. He can't do nothing about that communication. Nothing. Y'all got 90 seconds. The show about to end. Man. We got a lot more questions. We're going to deal with them next time we come up. Saints, love y'all. Bless y'all. Appreciate y'all being here. Man, love you dearly. Love you dearly. Stay connected. I'll be back on this show in 4 to 5 weeks. I'll try to put a video out to let everybody know when that's going to take place. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Appreciate y'all on YouTube. Appreciate y'all from Blog Talk. We're going to get it even more organized. We're going to get it even more organized. Hallelujah. So bless y'all, saints. Love y'all dearly. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Now, let me see how to stop this. I got to figure out, y'all. This one I do. Stop streaming. And here I go to end episode. Yeah.